Is Raghunath Prabhu here? I received a message. In regard to the health of His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj, one of the leading neurologist physicians of India is treating him. As we told you yesterday, seeing his condition initially, the place where the hemorrhaging was going on in his brain, he said there was perhaps 1% chance that anyone in this condition can survive. Yesterday, Raghunath, would you like to come up and tell exactly? Yesterday, Subhag Maharaj visited Srila Jaipatak Maharaj and spoke to him. And Jaipatak Maharaj opened his eyes and looked at him and began to cry in affection. And Brajahari Prabhu visited him, and Jaipatak Maharaj was pointing for the doctors to take all the tubes out of his throat and take the tubes out of his arms. He wanted to speak, and if he could not speak, he wanted to write something. So the doctors were amazed. They could not believe such good signs, although he's still in critical condition. The doctor said no more close devotees should visit him, because if he gets too emotional, his blood pressure may get high and it may cause complications. So the good signs are dangerous. It's the way this world is. But we'd like to hear from Raghunath exactly what the doctor told you initially and what he told you more recently.
When I first spoke to Dr. P.P. Ashok, who's the head of the Department of Neurology at Hinduja Hospital, he said that Maharaj has suffered from a pontine hemorrhage and damage of the basal ganglion. He's saying that he will not survive. There is no hope for his survival. He's in hundreds of patients. So I just asked him, what is the prognosis? He said, I can't tell you. The will to live is different in different people. But after seeing hundreds and hundreds of patients, I can tell you that it's very, very difficult and he will not survive. I spoke to him yesterday and he said, Rajesh, there's been a miracle. This is the power of Krishna. He said that after seeing him, we doctors were sure that he will not survive. But after seeing him yesterday, I am sure he will survive. He said that.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Let us take a moment to offer our prayer for His Holiness Jai Pratap Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada put such a preaching spirit into his followers' hearts. This doctor is not a devotee, as far as we know. And the people in the hospital are not devotees. But Jai Pratap Maharaj, even while he's in a coma, he's changing people's hearts and making them devotees. It's inconceivable. This doctor believes in the power of Krishna beyond all of his material considerations and beyond all the material abilities that are within this creation. It's powerful preaching. Krishna descends in Vrindavan for this purpose, to transform the hearts of the conditioned souls who are trying to enjoy in material existence. Yehi samsparashacha bhoga dhuka jonaya evate atyanta vanta kontaya nate shuramate buddha. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us an intelligent person does not take part in indulging in the sources of misery in the form of material pleasure, because they have a beginning and an end. We are chasing after the promises, the false promises of Maya, birth after birth after birth. And we have forgotten the real treasure of love and devotion to Lord Krishna that is dormant within our hearts. It is by our own free will that we are in this condition. And it is only by our own free will that we remain in this condition. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. But Krishna's love is so powerful. It is so pure that he descends into this world again and again and again only to show kindness to those who have rejected him, to those who have betrayed him. And in whatever our condition, he's willing to forgive us, uplift us, and give us entry into his eternal pastimes in the spiritual world, if we're simply willing to follow his guidance and take shelter of his lotus feet. Therefore, Krishna descends. And once in a day of Brahma, he comes in his original form of Govinda, Govindam Adipurusham, the Avatari, the source of all incarnations, not only to deliver the fallen souls of this world, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharmastam stipanarataya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord promises that he comes again and again to annihilate the wicked, to protect and deliver the pious, and to reestablish the religious principles. But only once in over 8 billion years, in a day and night of Brahma, does he come in his original form. And he brings with him his eternal abode from the spiritual world and his eternal associates to perform pastimes that are so sweet, so enchanting, that they attract our hearts. They transform our consciousness. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvata. Tyaktva deham punarajan manaiti mam eti sorajana. And Krishna tells that one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities in this world never has to take birth again, but attains my eternal abode. Just as Krishna incarnated, Vrindavan incarnated in its full glory in this world. And Krishna, Sri Radha, the Gopas and the Gopis, they revealed that glory at the ending part of the Dwapara Yuga. Srila Shukadev Goswami, the son of Srila Vyasadeva, he spoke the glories of Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan for all the world to hear. And Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized, echoing the words of the scriptures and all the great acharyas, that the sound of Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's teachings, are transcendental. They are beyond time. They are beyond space. They are non-different than Krishna. Wherever they are heard, spoken, or remembered with sincere faith, those pastimes are in fact being enacted in that devotee's heart. After Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan, his manifested Prakata Leela, he never ever takes a step out of Vrindavan. Those pastimes are forever being enacted. There's nothing that anything in this material existence, neither Aurangzeb or hurricanes or earthquakes or rampant commercialism or illicit activities and idle gossip or even materialistic politicians in control, whatever happens in Vrindavan, nothing can change its essential reality. The most power any human being can do is just change the appearance of the illusory covering, that thin covering over Vrindavan. But devotees here they see through their ears. And according to our service attitude, Krishna reveals the holy Dham. not only while we're in Vrindavan, but in our hearts, when we hear his glories, when we serve his devotees, or when we chant his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare. We come to Vrindavan not to enjoy, but to serve. By serving a spirit of being enjoyed. It's a great mystery. In this world, to the degree we want to enjoy, we must suffer. To the degree we don't have any desire to enjoy, but we want to serve in such a way that we are enjoyed, we enjoy. The Vrijavasis want nothing for themselves, everything for Krishna, but Krishna reciprocates and gives them everything. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there is the example of Daruka, who is fanning Krishna. And tears are coming to his eyes, seeing the beauty of Krishna. He's in ecstasy. And he's praying for these symptoms of ecstasy to go away because they're interfering with his service. How can he fan Krishna properly if he cannot see? Selfless service. That is what attracts Krishna. And I was just listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada today that he gave in Vrindavan. And he spoke the same thing. Sevon mukehi jivado. That when we chant the holy name with a really sincere and genuine service attitude, then the holy name reveals Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's abode, Vrindavan, Krishna's pastimes, and our relationship with Krishna from within our hearts. Unless we discover Vrindavan within our hearts, we will not be able to see Vrindavan as it is, even if we are here. So we come to Vrindavan, and Srila Prabhupada invited all of his devotees from all over the world to come here. He worked so hard. It's an amazing story how he acquired that property here in Ramanareti. And he built the Krishna Balaram temple. And he built an international guest house for devotees to come from all over the world to hear and chant the glories in Vrindavan and get that unlimited benefit. And then go back to their places of devotional service, spiritually surcharged. There are 9 processes of serving Krishna with devotion. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. The first is hearing. Second is chanting. Third, remembering. So we have all come to Vrindavan in this holy month of Kartik to absorb ourselves in hearing the glories of Lord Krishna, hearing the glories of Sri Vrindavan Dham, meditating on the love of the pure devotees of the Lord and eager to be the servants of their servants. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells us of Krishna's appearance and many of our acharyas have taken excerpts from other Puranas and Vedic literatures to expand on that narration. When We'll begin here. There was a king of the Brishni dynasty. His name was Devamita. And he married a Kshatriya wife and a Vaishya wife. From his Kshatriya wife, he had a son named Surasena, who became the king of Mathura. From his Vaishya wife, he had a son named Parjanya. And he was given a place called Gokul Mahavan, also known as Brihadvan, where he became king of the cowherds. He was an ocean of good qualities. Everyone who knew him loved him unconditionally. He attracted that from everyone's heart. Parjanya ruled over the Mahaban area with so much compassion. He had many, many cows and bulls. The whole area was flourishing. He had five sons: Upananda, Sunanda, Nanda, Abhinanda, and Nandana. Upananda was the eldest. When he came of age, Parajanya was very eager to coronate him the king of Braja. He called Vasudev, he invited Gargamuni to attend this very auspicious ceremony. Right when Parjanya was in the process of giving him the rule, Nanda, or Upananda, gave everything he was given to Nanda Maharaj, his younger brother. He said that Nanda Maharaj, he has unlimited good qualities. Everyone loves him. I personally feel myself to be his servant. He is most qualified. Let him be the king. Nanda Maharaj was very humble. He withdrew. He withdrew. He said, "No, no, you are the elder brother. I am your servant. Let it be." Upananda insisted, "You are the natural king of Brajbhumi. This is the love of brothers." In today's world, how many times do we hear of court cases of brothers fighting over their father's inheritance? All over the world, especially in India. But this was the love they had for each other. They were both totally competent, but they were fighting over giving it to the other. And ultimately, Upananda insisted that everyone asked Nanda Maharaj to take. So finally, out of humility and obedience, Nanda Maharaj became the king of Mahavan. And like Parjanya, and even exceeding him, his compassion, his kindness, his intelligence, the whole of Vrindavan was, or Mahavan was flourishing. Everyone was happy. And the years went on. But there was one thing that caused each and every Brijabasi great distress. Nanda had no children. There was a cowherd man named Sumukha, and he arranged for his daughter whose name was Yashoda, to be married to Nanda Maharaj. It is explained that Yashoda, whoever she came in contact with, she would bring out those persons' glories and make them forever famous. Nanda and Yashoda were growing older and still no children. Everyone else in Mahabhan was having children. But as we were speaking yesterday, a devotee is paradukaduki. Their happiness is in other people's happiness. Even though Vrindavan was full of babies, there was great distress for everyone because they loved Nanda and Yashoda so much, they couldn't bear the fact that they had no children. And for some divine power within Nanda Yashoda created a deep longing to have a child. One day Nanda Maharaj told Yashoda Mai that I keep having the same dream over and over again. I see a child enter my heart and then come into your heart, and I see this little child, he's so beautiful. He has a dark complexion, like a monsoon cloud, and big, lovely, lotus-like eyes. He's a little baby, and he's sitting on your lap, and you're feeding him your milk in great ecstatic love. Yashoda Mai said, I'm also having the same dream, but I was too shy to tell anyone. Nanda Maharaj said, it is that child that I'm longing to be our son. How could we have anyone else? We've already given our hearts to him. Meanwhile, Upananda, the elder brother, and the other family members of Cowherd Men, they performed a yajna for Nanda and Yashoda to have child. But Nanda and Yashoda were not, they didn't have much faith in all these yajnas. They understood that it was based on their deep longing, their devotion, that this child, the child of their dreams, would appear to them. They decided to perform the Dwadasi Vrata for 1 year. At the completion of their Vrata, both Nanda and Yashoda had the same dream. Lord Narayan appeared before them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in all of his opulences, and told them that the partial expansion of yourselves are Drona and Dara, and you have done tapasya to Lord Brahma, and he promised you that I will be your child. Do not have any more worries or fears. That child that you are dreaming of, that child that you have focused your heart, your soul, and your lives in loving, will be your son. Just at that time, an elderly lady, her name was Purnamasi, came to Vrindavan. She was the mother of Sandipani Muni, and she had a small boy with her, very small boy, who was Madhu Mangal. And she came and told the Vrijabasis that as far as I can calculate through my powers, very soon Nanda and Yashoda will have a son who will give great joy to all the residents of Vrindavan and protect them from all dangers and bring eternal glory to Gokul. So they were very happy, and they built a nice hut, nice house for her out of leaves on the bank of Yamuna. And then the Supreme Lord, Govinda, the source of all avatars, from Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, descended. He entered into the heart of Nanda Maharaj, and then entered into the heart of Yashoda Mai. And right after that, a little girl entered into the womb of Yashoda. That was Yogamaya. Around that time, Rohini, who was the wife of Vasudev, was sent by her husband to take shelter of the protection of Nanda Maharaj. We know from Srimad Bhagavatam that while Vasudev and Devaki were being married, and Kamsa, the cousin brother of Devaki, out of affection for his sister, volunteered to drive her home on his chariot. But as they were driving, a voice came from the sky declaring, "Kamsa, you are a fool. You do not know that the eighth child of Devaki, your sister, will be the cause of your death." So selfish, so absolutely self-centered. Kamsa immediately grabbed the hair of Devaki, pulled it toward himself, drew his sword, and was about to sever her head. Vasudev pleaded with him. He spoke wonderful philosophy to Kamsa. "We should never engage in any abominable activity for our own temporary benefits, because the soul is eternal. The body is temporary. The body is destined to die. Like a little worm that goes from one leaf to another, similarly, the soul leaves behind one body and accepts in another and another and another. So why should we engage in abominable activities that will incriminate us to horrible sufferings, not only in this life, but in future lives?" But when a person is obsessed with his or her sense gratification, possessed by false ego, very difficult to hear even good philosophy. How many of us have this experience? We know what we're supposed to be doing. We know what we're not supposed to be doing. But when the false ego comes in, we're not supposed to criticize others, but the ego impels us to do so. We know we're not supposed to engage in sinful or activities unfavorable for devotional service, but sometimes we're just impelled to do so by circumstances, internally or externally. Integrity means to be willing to live by our ideals despite the obstacles, the temptations, or the fears. That is a hero. That is a Goswami. Kamsa was a great king. He had unbelievable physical, mental, mystical powers. But he could not control his mind and senses. He could not hear a word of Vasudev's good preaching. He was determined to kill his sister. Vasudev promised that it's the eighth child. I promise you I will give every child that is born. You have nothing to fear from your sister. Vasudev was so honest. Even Kamsa had faith in his word. That is the power of the word of a great soul. They'll never break it. Soon after the first child was born, Vasudev brought to Kamsa. Kamsa couldn't believe Vasudev's actually giving me the child. What a man of honor. Unbelievable. He's willing to risk his own son just to maintain truthfulness. He said, I have nothing to worry from this son. You take him back. It's the eighth son. Bring that one to me. But then Narada Muni appeared. And Kamsa offered official formal respect to Narada Muni to get blessings. Not for pure devotional service to Vishnu. This is an amazing thing. Hiranyakashipu performed tapasya for so long, and then Brahma, who is the Adi Guru of the universe, such a great Vaishnav devotee, Brahma, such a saint, he asked Brahma for blessing for all powers to kill Vishnu. Hare Krishna. This is materialistic people. Even materialistic people like to get blessings from saintly people. So Narada Muni told Kamsa, I have some very, very secret information for you that you will be very interested to hear. Recently, while I was playing my veena and traveling from place to place, I came upon an amazing scene on the ocean of milk near the shore. And there demigods were assembled. And Lord Vishnu said that he was going to appear in this world to kill demons like you. And he was going to appear in the Yadu dynasty. And not only that, he told the demigods, your number one enemies, to also incarnate in expansions in the Yadu dynasty, the Vishnu dynasty, the Bhoja dynasty, the Andaka dynasty, just to overcome you and the other demons. So you should be very careful, Kamsa. Because that your enemies, the demigods and Vishnu, they're being born all over the place. Hare Krishna. I just wanted to inform you of this. And one more thing. In your last life, you were a demon named Kalanidhi. Huh? Kalanemi, yes, yes. And on the ocean of milk, Lord Vishnu killed you. And he's coming back to get you again. Now I have to go, Hare Krishna. And then Kamsa was so outraged. Immediately he ordered the arrest of Vasudev and Devaki. He put them in a prison and in chains. Now, why did Narada Muni do that? Because he has such divine vision. Sometimes devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not according to the general stereotype forms that we expect it to be. Six children in a row were born. And Kamsa killed them all, right in the prison. Narada Muni knew who those six children were, and he knew what it was going to take to deliver them. And he knew the Lord's will. He did all this just to expedite the Lord's coming to this world to reveal his divine pastimes to all of us. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, Srila Prabhupada quotes him in his purport, that there was a demigod or a great rishi named Marichi, who was born of the mind of Brahma, and he represents the mind. He had six sons. Now these sons, they were great rishis, very powerful, from the heavenly worlds, above the heavenly worlds. One time Lord Brahma became passionate toward his own daughter, Vak. And as he was approaching her, Marichi and other great sages, they were praying to Brahma, "Don't do this. This is not proper. You are a very powerful person. You are a guru. You should not do this." So Brahma realized his mistake and gave up that body or that mentality. Now the six sons of Marichi, they found fault in Brahma. Some criticism was there. Even though he was doing the wrong thing, excuse me, he was, by the will of the Lord, he was doing the wrong thing. Still, because they found fault in a great soul, they had to fall from their positions. They did Vaishnava Aparad. It's a very powerful story. There are so many powerful stories. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes this story to warn us against Vaishnava Aparad in the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. That even if a great soul does something that isn't exactly right, still we should be very, very careful. Because if they're dear to Krishna, their mistake will not be taken as serious as our criticism of their mistake. So they became the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. And one time they went to perform tapasya to get great powers as demons. But Hiranyakashipu was very angry with them because they didn't ask for his permission. So he cursed them that they would be killed by their own father. Their next birth, their father was Kalanemi. And Kalanemi became Kamsa. And to fulfill that curse, their own father killed them. But we'll read later in the Srimad Bhagavatam how when Krishna was living in Dwaraka, or Mathura Dwaraka, Devaki requested Krishna, "You brought the sons of Sandipani Muni back to life, even though they were dead, can you also bring those sons back to me that were killed by Kamsa?" And Krishna went to Bali Maharaj. That's where they were. And he brought the sons. They were still little babies, I guess. And he brought them. And Devaki, in motherly affection, fed them the milk from her breast. But because that night, which we're going to get to, that Krishna took birth in Mathura before leaving across the Jamuna,
Devaki fed Krishna milk from her breast. Therefore, that milk was Maha Maha Prasad. So as soon as she fed her six sons, they became completely liberated, completely purified, and got to go back to their original position as pure Paramhamsa devotees. This is Narada Muni's vision of the future. This is the management of great rishis. We like to just manage according to the situation of how it is now. It's a critical situation and we have to just resolve it. Yes, we do. But Krishna consciousness is to resolve it in such a way to actually create the most auspicious environment for the future as well. When Srila Prabhupada was managing ISKCON, he was managing it for generations and generations to come. He was trying to establish something that would be here for thousands of years to deliver hundreds of millions of people and bring them back to Krishna. Meanwhile, in the prison of Kamsa, after the six sons were gone, Baladev, the first expansion of the Lord, entered into the womb of Devaki. Meanwhile, Rohini was also a wife of Vasudev. She was about 3 months pregnant when Vasudev sent her to Vrindavan. And there was a great welcoming of love for her. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda just treated her with so much affection, giving her assurances of complete protection as long as her husband was incarcerated. In her 7th month of pregnancy, she was sleeping. It was at midnight. At that time, she had a dream that she had a miscarriage. And when she woke up, she realized that she did. But then Yogamaya had been instructed by Krishna to transfer the child of Devaki into the womb of Rohini. And then for herself to enter into the womb of Yashoda. So Yogamaya spoke to Rohini and said that the child in your womb is now being replaced with another child from the womb of Devaki. Now this is very interesting because actually Lord Balaram is eternally the son of Rohini in the spiritual world. Rohini is his mother. So he was just going through this process to get into his womb, into the womb of his mother. So Rohini and Yashoda were both pregnant together. And Balaramji was born on the full moon night, or the full moon day of the month of Shraddha. And soon after, in Vrindavan, simultaneously in Mathura and Vrindavan, Krishna was born. In the prison cell of Kamsa, Krishna appeared in his four-armed form. And the Bhagavatam explains that the way he entered into Devaki is he first entered into the mind of Vasudev. And from the heart of Vasudev, like the sun shining its rays on the rising full moon and the eastern horizon, he was transferred to the womb of Devaki.
And Devaki was so effulgent. She was so beautiful. As soon as Kamsa saw her, he realized Vishnu is in her. We have to be very careful. He was just waiting for that moment to kill the child. He was really in fear, anticipation. At midnight, Mantha Bhadra, Janmashtami, Krishna manifested from Devaki's heart in his beautiful forearm form, decorated with wonderful, wonderful ornaments. Vasudeva and Devaki surrendered to him, offered prayers of surrender. They understood that their son was God, Bhagavan. But Devaki was so afraid that if Kamsa sees you like this, he'll know who you are and he'll certainly try to harm you. So change your form into an ordinary baby so we can try to hide you. And Krishna ordered Vasudev to take me across the Yamuna and exchange me with the child of Yashoda and Mahaban. Meanwhile, at exactly the same time at midnight, Yashoda Mai gave birth to the original Supreme Lord of Goloka, Govinda. And just after him, Yogamaya was born, his younger sister. But by Yogamaya's potency, Yashoda Mai slept through the whole thing. And she didn't really remember what happened. Meanwhile, Vasudev left the prison, all the doors opened, the chains loosened, Kamsa and everyone else fell asleep. It was a stormy rain, Ananta Shesha covered him like an umbrella. Yamuna was very, very much turbulent, but it became peaceful and made a passage for him. He crossed the Yamuna, and there, the Krishna that was in his hands, who was a partial expansion of the Krishna who was born of Yashoda, became one. But he could not recognize what had happened. And all that was there was the little baby Yogamaya, and he exchanged and took the girl back. As soon as he arrived at the palace with this little girl, she started to cry, and all the guards woke up, and Kamsa came down and grabbed that little girl, and Devaki was pleading with him, just let me keep this one child. You already killed 6 of my children. I suffered a miscarriage. Please let me kill this one. Let me keep this one child. It's a girl. You have nothing to fear from a girl. I promise you anything, but let me be a mother. Kamsa was ruthless. He ripped that girl out of her arms. He lifted her up to dash her to death against a rock. But the baby slipped out of his hands, went into the sky, and manifested her form of Durga, sitting on a lion with many hands and many weapons. And she said, Kamsa, you are so cruel. You are such a fool. Why you have caused so much pain and suffering to your own brother-in-law and sister? What will you gain? The child that will kill you is already born somewhere else. She disappeared. Now Kamsa, he became very sober by this experience. And he fell at the feet of Vasudeva and Devaki and was begging forgiveness. Not only was he begging forgiveness, but he was philosophical about it. Please forgive me. I didn't really mean it. Please forgive me. I acted cruelly. And I shouldn't have done it. But please know, it was your destiny. and nothing can change destiny. This is how demons rationalize things. It's really bad. We do something, don't blame me. It's your destiny. I'm just the instrument. But the problem is, you may be the instrument, but because it was your free will that you did it, you are fully karmically responsible. Devaki and Vasudeva were so kind, they completely forgave him. And they loved him like a brother again. This is Vaishnav. The Vaishnavas we read about in the scriptures, it's beyond the common sense of this world. With love and genuine forgiveness, they just accepted Kamsa. And they spoke very sweetly to him from their hearts. What was Vasudeva and Devaki? They knew that Vishnu was going to be their child. So their service to Vishnu was somehow or other, no matter how many children they had to have that were going to be killed right before their eyes, they were willing to do it if that's what it meant to assist the Lord in his mission. That is the standard of their devotion. Kamsa released them. Then he went back to his ministers and his advisors and explained to them exactly what happened, and they said, "You are all powerful. Why are you so afraid? Put them back in prison and let's kill all the babies that's been born." She already said the babies is already born somewhere else. Due to bad association, evil-hearted Kamsa again imprisoned Vasudeva and Devaki and then called for various demons to murder all the children around. Meanwhile, while this is going on, Yashoda Mai wakes up and she sees Gopal laying beside her. His body was like millions of effulgent sapphires. So beautiful, so soft. Her heart absolutely melted. Her eyes flowed with torrents of tears. She embraced her little baby. No one can ever imagine or explain the ecstasy she felt as she first embraced her little baby Krishna, the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead who had appeared as her own son. When the other gopis came early in the morning to see the little baby, immediately their hearts were enchanted by him. And one Brahmani, the wife of a Brahmin, was sent to give the good news to Nanda Maharaj. He was in the goshala and they were milking the cows. When this Brahmani came, when Nanda Maharaj and his brothers, Upananda, Abhinanda, Sunanda, Nandana, when they all saw this Brahmani, she couldn't speak. She was in so much happiness. Not a word can come out of her mouth. She was trembling. Then such joy. Immediately, just by seeing her ecstasy, there could be only one reason for this. The child of Yashoda was born. And she gave that news. And it's auspicious to give gifts to someone who brings good news. That's why I give that garland to Raghunath. So he was, every cow that's giving milk and all the milk that they're giving and so many more, we'll give all those cows to this Brahmani. And Nanda Maharaj started just showering her with so many gifts, precious, precious gifts. And then he was just overwhelmed. He went home and he took his bath and he was going to the place where Yashoda Mai had given birth, and he was delirious in anticipation to see his child. Years and years and years he was longing for this child. He was dreaming for this child. Finally, the child appeared. He was falling down and getting up and falling down and getting up. He didn't know where he was, but by Yoga Maya's potency, somehow or other, he was walking in the right direction. And ultimately, he came. And Rohini Devi was there to greet him. And she brought Nanda Maharaj into the room, and there in Yashoda Mai's arms, Nanda Maharaj had his first darshan of Krishna. He had never seen anything or anyone that attracted his heart completely. He stood there, trembling, crying in ecstasy. And Yashoda Mai had a gopi put Krishna in Nanda Maharaj's arms. And as Yashoda Mai saw Nanda Maharaj's pleasure, her heart was erupting with joy. Then Nanda Maharaj announced there would be a celebration, Nandotsava. Everyone in all of Gokul Mahaban, all the Brijavasis, the news spread everywhere. Yashoda and Nanda have given birth to a son. The whole of Mahaban was decorated with flags and festoons, and all the cows were decorated with silks, and they were drawing beautiful designs on the cows with turmeric and other kumkum. And the gopis were wearing their very, very best silken saris. And they had earrings and wonderful jewelry. They made themselves so beautiful for the pleasure of Krishna. And the cowherd men had their best clothes and beautiful turbans. And they all came running with gifts. And as they saw the little boy, they all showered blessings upon him. May you be the king of Braja. May you live long life. Maybe you'll be protected from all dangers. Everyone was blessing Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj had, for the safety and the auspiciousness of God's blessings upon the child, Nanda Maharaj had Brahmins doing yajnas and other musicians playing instruments. And Brahmins were chanting mantras and reciting scriptures. And all the Brijabasis were dancing and dancing and dancing and singing and playing beautiful horns and cymbals and drums. Then they made a nice snanvedi and they put Krishna on it and they gave Krishna abhishekam with the milk, the yogurt, the ghee, the cow dung, the cow urine of the cows, the panchamrita, the panchagavya. All for the blessings and the sanctification of their child. And as this was going on, there was such a festival. Everyone was so overwhelmed with joy. In the midst of all the singing and dancing, the gopis and the gopas were splashing each other with yogurt and condensed milk and other auspicious milk products. In this way, jubilation filled the whole of Mahaban because Nanda and Yashoda's son is born. And meanwhile, little baby Krishna, he was watching all the festivities in great happiness, experiencing and feeling, even though nobody understood who he was accepting their joy and reciprocating with it by bringing them more joy. Because
The Brijabasis were joyful for Nanda and Yashoda. And when Krishna sees that we are happy with another devotee's good fortune, he showers his blessings upon us. This is a great science. Even if you can't do all that much, if you're not envious of people who do a lot, or even if you're not envious of people who don't do that much, if you're just not envious, and you really appreciate what other people are doing in devotional service, Krishna's so happy with that sentiment. Simply by seeing any nice thing a devotee does, whether they're making a garland, or whether they're preaching to many people, or whether they're doing great management, or cooking nice offerings, or distributing thousands of books, whatever a person may do, if we can just appreciate that, Krishna showers his blessings upon us. Because appreciation is a symptom of love. Srila Prabhupada explains what a jnata sukriti is. If a non-devotee appreciates anything that a devotee does, Krishna manifests himself in that person's heart, and his or her spiritual life begins. If you give someone prasad and they don't know what it is or how it is or who it came from, I remember one time I was trying to give someone in America prasad, a petrol pump attendant. And he said, no, I do not eat these things. And I said, actually, my mother made it for me. And it was my birthday, and my mother made it for my birthday. So please take it. So he said, all right, how can I refuse? And he ate it. And he said, this is really good. Could I have more? I offered it to Krishna before. And actually, one of my god sisters made it, who's also my mother, because according to our Vaishnava philosophy, every woman that's not your wife is your mother, and since I don't have a wife, everybody's my mother. And as far as birthday, every day we chant Hare Krishna, it's like our birthday. So. Srila Prabhupada, the person appreciated the prasad. If a person appreciates the beauty of a temple, if a person appreciates the deity, if a person appreciates a devotee and says, oh, he's a nice person or she's very nice, that appreciation is an expression of love for Krishna because a devotee represents Krishna. So bhakti is very much about appreciation. And if we appreciate Vaishnavas, Krishna appreciates us. And if we criticize Vaishnavas, Krishna may not appreciate us. This is not a detail. This is a main principle in Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and our other Vaishnava literatures. So all the Brijabasis, to see Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda's good fortune, they were celebrating from their hearts. They were joyful. And Krishna was so blissful to see it all. Krishna was so much reciprocating with all of them because of their non-envious love for Nanda and Yashoda that Krishna manifested as a gesture of his appreciation to them. He manifested within their hearts the feeling that he was everyone's son. All the older Brijabasi cowherd men and cowherd women, they felt Krishna to be their own son. And they loved him as such. That is the science of bhakti. The whole day passed celebrating Nandotsava.
And soon after that, Nanda Maharaj put some of the cowherd men to oversee the affairs of Gokul because he had to go to Mathura to pay his annual tax to the king Kamsa. This is very interesting also. Nanda Maharaj is completely transcendental, nitya siddha from the spiritual world. But still, he was subjected to the formalities of this world while he was in this world. He had to go to evil Kamsa, who had previously imprisoned Vasudev. Vasudev was now free for a short time. But he had to pay his taxes. So they traveled with their ox carts to Mathura, paid their tax to Kamsa. Vasudev heard that Nanda Maharaj was in Mathura. He was so eager to see him. He came to the home where Nanda Maharaj was staying. Should I continue? I was really hoping you would say that.